On this episode of the Naturist Living Show, we discuss fashion.
Of the Naturist Living Show is brought to you by Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. At Bear Oaks, we offer traditional naturist values in a modern setting. Free your body, free your mind. www.bearoaks.ca.
You know, you might think that fashion is the antithesis to naturism. And certainly if fashion is about, status and shame and hiding your body and trying to make yourself something you're not absolutely in. And I guess from that standpoint, the fashion industry has something to feel a little bit guilty about. But there's the fashion industry that's the corporations and the business and trying to get as much money as possible. But fashion can also be about aesthetics. It can be very much artistic. The people who are really into fashion design are artists. They have the same sensibilities, they have the same interests. I've often wondered, what would fashion look like in a naturist world? I want you to imagine for a moment that everything that we've talked about becomes the standard, and that the polite thing to do in a naturist world where respect for self is there, but respect for others is also there, the respectful thing is to be nude, because by having our body open, by being open, by being ourselves in that way, we are being respectful to the other. We are showing them that we are comfortable with ourselves, that we are open, that we're not trying to put ourselves above them with any sense of exclusivity or expensive clothing or brands that we can afford that they can, or uniforms. We are being honest about who we are. We are being open. So imagine that really takes root in society as the thing to do. And imagine then that the polite thing to do whenever you walk into somebody's house is to take all your clothes off. The same way you might take your hat off or your boots off when you walk into somebody's house. So what would clothing look like? Well, it probably wouldn't be pants and things with lots of buttons, because that would be slow and awkward. And what would you do with all those individual socks and underwear? A new sensibility would have to be come across in terms of what clothing is and how it functions, because you would be taking it all on and off so often. It'd be a lot more like a coat, but yet, you would need the clothing for protection from the elements. So you wouldn't be able to have a short coat. It would be a long coat down to your ankles, but then that might be impractical because it would be dragging and getting dirty. Who knows? There's lots of possibilities and lots of interesting things that could happen. But what would never go away is the aesthetic. Because clothing is now for the purpose of protection from the elements, and you take it off when you come into somebody's home out of respect and politeness, doesn't mean it has to be utilitarian. It has utility. But, just like a chair, not all chairs look the same. Not all couches and sofas and beds and pieces of furniture look the same. We appreciate the aesthetics of everyday objects and items that we use. We appreciate things looking good, being interesting, being different. That's what artistry is about. That's what design is about. And I'm sure even clothing, which we only use for utility, would not be utilitarian. It would still have an important aesthetic component. And that really is the pure definition of fashion. So fashion can certainly be an oppressive tyrant when fashion is used to make you ashamed, when fashion is used to make you feel you're not worthy without those clothes, and that those clothes somehow make you a better person than what you really are. But fashion can also be an artistic pursuit. It can be an important aesthetic. And I really do love good design. I love things that are beautifully thought out and designed and shaped and built and made and created. Creativity is such an important human quality and human function. It gives us so much pleasure. And so fashion, in its purest form, ironically, I think is still very important. And you might not think that, except now that you've heard the explanation, you'll understand why I do like fashion. I do like design and I do like artistry. So I was really pleased when I got this email a couple of months ago from a gentleman named Joshua Williams. And I'm going to read that for you. Hello, Stefan. And by the way, he put the accent on the first E in my name, which is very nice. Thank you, Joshua. That probably took a little bit of effort, because if you don't ever do French language on the keyboard, you don't know where those accents are hidden. So he says, hello, Stefan. I came across the Nature's Living Show in January of this year as part of some research I was doing into the relationship between clothing and the human body. Kudos to providing such a thoughtful and illuminating podcast. Certainly, an oasis in the desert. I have always been particularly fascinated by the concept of modesty, which has different connotations depending on time, place, society, and religion, amongst other factors. Additionally, as an adjunct professor at the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York City, and as a marketing professional in the fashion industry, I know all too well the power and use of advertising and media in dictating our perception of body and self. Clothing is an outward expression of who we are that can differentiate a person from the crowd or identify, even conform them with a group. That's a powerful tool, and fashion companies are only too willing to turn this powerful desire into cash. Of course, the fashion industry is interconnected worldwide, from manufacturing to entertainment, affecting all levels of people, no matter their interest in fashion itself, so there is a lot of reasons to keep the fashion machine going. Besides, in today's society, we all need clothes. But while fashion and social values both can elevate, even reach the level of politeness and art, there are myriad casualties, from anorexia and depression to power and control. Ironically, both society and fashion have been at war with the naked human form. And for that reason, my research led me to the subject of nudity. I began with Ruth Barkan's interesting book, Nudity, A Cultural Anatomy, before stumbling upon the idea of naturism as opposed to nudism. This led me to your podcast. I have since listened to every episode and have read many more books, many of which are available on your site. Perhaps even more eventful, after listening to your podcast, I felt that if I were to truly understand the human body, I would need to get a bit more comfortable with my own and began being nude at home. I had my first public naturist experience in Paris on a business trip, then Sandy Hook Beach, which is close to my home. This summer, my family, wife and two girls, 9 and 12, joined me at Sky Farm for a day, which led to another day. We are now planning to join. I won't even begin to describe many of the changes that have occurred in my family, including a wonderful sense of openness in discussion. My wife, of course, appreciates the anomaly of a naturist fashion professor. I write to you first to thank you for your efforts, but also to let you know that I have decided to turn this research into a book. I have yet to read anything that really tackles fashion and nudity head on, nor have I found anything that discusses modesty that isn't fraught with religious intention. Moreover, I want to write a book that's readable by the general public and not so academic that it wastes away on a university bookshelf. I would be very interested in discussing this topic with you further, perhaps mining from your experience and awareness of the issues discussed above. I'm imagining a few years of surveys and discussions with many diverse people and would appreciate any suggestions you might have. Your work has already provided so many sources to draw from. I think this would be a great podcast topic, by the way. Continue the good work, and I look forward to speaking with you and perhaps meeting you. Of course, I love the irony, a fashion professor who becomes a naturist. But again, not inconsistent with the idea that fashion is not just about shaming people, but that there is an actual artistic side to fashion. And of course, I definitely agree that this would be an interesting topic for the podcast, which is what we're doing today. So of course, I call Joshua, And I scheduled a telephone interview with him and his wife, Katie.
So I was a combination of, I don't know, amused and flattered and everything else to get an email from a fashion professor of all people about how you had discovered naturism. Why don't we start with that? How did that happen?
Oh, it's sort of an interesting journey, actually. A few years ago, I got very interested in the idea of fashion semiotics, which is, sort of the signs of fashion. What does fashion signal to people? You know, what you wear, what does it say to someone else? And, I've always been very fascinated by that idea and the group dynamics involved, and certainly, individual dynamic of expressing oneself in a larger society or culture. At the same time, I'm very interested. We have two daughters. Our oldest is 12 years old, and the younger is 9. And of course, they're getting sort of into that age where they're growing into themselves and becoming, young women. And we've been having a lot of conversations, just about this idea of modesty and what it means to be quote unquote modest. And interestingly enough, these two ideas, of clothing as a signal or an expression of who we are, as well as this idea of modesty, started to become sort of a fascination and an interest to me. And at that point, I started doing a lot of research, first on the modesty side, because I was just very curious about what books would be out there and what people were saying about, raising kids and how do you deal with their change in their bodies and that sort of thing. And I kept just finding these books that were very negative. They weren't meant to be negative, but they came off as being very, protective and, you don't want to, the sense of ashamedness about, your growing body. Then I moved over because I felt like this was sort of a negative thing. It wasn't exactly what I was looking for. And I started really doing more research on the body itself and, why it is that people are ashamed of their body. Of course, this idea of body image and self-body image. And, started reading one book in particular, Nudity, A Cultural Anatomy by Ruth Barkin. And I found it just fascinating, sort of this ongoing history of the push and pull between, the nude body and the clothed body. And, from there, I really started doing a lot of research into the idea of nudity. And, as you mentioned, I came across to your podcasts and found them incredibly, interesting and very, I think the best way to say it is just very real and aware of, both from an adult perspective and also from a family perspective. And so that was sort of my first, other than, having heard about naturism, nudism, it was sort of my first time really, researching it and being aware of it and what it really meant, opposed from just being nude.
Okay. And Katie, where are you in all this? How are you? Is fashion important to you? Are you also in the fashion industry?
I'm not. I'm a bookkeeper, and I like to look nice, but it's not particularly on my radar. No.
So as Joshua is going through this, presumably he's having some discussions with you. What are you thinking?
I think I laughed the first time he talked to me about it, because fashion has been such a large part of his life, and it's something he's been rather immersed in. And he started talking about naturism, and it just struck me as very funny that he would go from someone who, was very particular about what he wore, very much aware of what everyone else was wearing, to being naked. So it just struck me as very funny.
And did you think that was crazy, or was it making sense to you?
Well, at first I thought, oh no, he's got another new idea. Where is this going to go? And as he researched more, and we talk about pretty much everything, and we discussed it more. It was very interesting for me to watch the change in him and how he not only perceived other people, but himself as well. And it really, I think, has been a very positive thing. So for me, at first I thought, oh, great, this might end up crazy, but I really feel like it's been positive.
Well, that's good. And so, you know, the instinctual reaction is that fashion is the antithesis to naturism.
Right.
Is that, do you think that's true?
At first I did. You know, there's sort of this idea when, you know, when I'm with my fashion friends or colleagues that, you know, I have this sort of secret that, you know, when I'm home or, you know, out at the beach, I'm nude. And then conversely, you know, when I'm at the beach and or at the naturist park, you know, that I'm a fashion professor. So I think there's sort of this fascial, on the fascial level, yes, there seems to be this contrast. But the further I've studied, the more I've realized that, you know, the body is sort of the foundation for everything. And that clothes really are just, again, sort of an ornamentation or expression of oneself. And I think that we sort of miss what I find interesting is we sort of miss the boat, I think, in our society with skipping or not thinking of the body as the foundation of the expression of oneself, that we just go straight to the clothes and we sort of, in fact, and many times we're using clothes to cover, to hide sort of our true foundation. So I think when it really comes down to it, you know, they go hand in hand. And not only that, but there is a symbiosis between the two. Certainly, as you look at fashion advertising and that sort of thing, there's a definite play between the nude body and clothing, you know, which is a topic in and of itself, and sort of that combination of the use of the body and clothing to sell.
I mean, we're certainly, you know, there's always been, the body has been an important part of showing the fashion. In fact, you know, nudity is very common in fashion shows.
Exactly.
Far more than you obviously see on the streets or anywhere else. But is that a comfort with the body?
Well, you know, that's interesting because I do a lot of photography editorials for fashion magazines, and what's really interesting is, you know, I'm in the back of the scenes, you know, dressing the models, preparing them for the shot, and obviously there's a lot of nudity involved back there. We're you know, getting dressed and undressed, and there was a certain point where I sort of realized that the sexualization or of fashion is really in the putting on of clothes, the taking on of clothes, and also the clothes themselves, because the backstage area was certainly non-sexual. You know, and here we all, you know, here are most of these girls completely naked. And it was a completely non-sexual atmosphere. And I thought, you know, that's so interesting that here we are sort of making these images that are meant to provoke, you know, meant to provoke some sort of reaction in the consumer. And, you know, we're in sort of this very sterile environment, for lack of a better way of saying it. And I've always thought that was sort of an interesting, you know, dichotomy there. So that was for me, and this sort of came before I even got into the idea of naturism, but it was always sort of you know, that dichotomy, it's never quite sat right, that here we are, you know, kind of creating these provoking images, and yet, you know, the situation itself is very very comfortable.
So at some point you went from researching the concept
mm-hmm.
to being a participant.
Yes.
How did that happen? How did you make that transition? What was that thing that made you do that?
Well, you know, I think as I was researching, certainly while I was listening to your podcast, and just what I was really interested in when I got away from some of the books was just reading on the internet people's experiences. And I was always struck just by this idea of just, you know, that everyone says that there's this sense of freedom. And you know, I've always wondered to myself when I was working with these models or whoever else, you know, yeah, they're just so free, you know, taking their clothes off. They don't seem to mind at all. And, you know, frankly, none of us do either. I wonder what it would be like if I just did it, you know? So that was always in the back of my mind. And by the way, one of the other things about the photo shoots that I found very interesting is that, you know, in general, these girls that you're working with are fairly androgynous girls. I mean, they're not the type of girls that the guys would be looking at or turning their heads at, you know, on the street. And then certainly by the time they end up on the in the image in the advertising or the editorial, you know, that's the exact opposite. So I thought that that's sort of an interesting dynamic. But at a certain point, you know, I just started thinking, well, if I'm really going to truly understand this idea of the nude body and being comfortable in one's own skin, and then what it means to then put clothes on that body, you know, I need to try it myself. And I, oddly enough, I was on a trip to Paris to work with some of my fashion clients, and I had found a website for the Association Naturiste de Paris, and I was very interested that they had just sort of a three nights a week they had a swim, and they had a gym and a swimming pool that you could go participate in. So I emailed the head of the AMP and asked if it would be possible if I could drop by. And tried very hard not to think about it through the week, but that Monday rolled around and I thought, okay, I'm going to try this. And I'm in a foreign country, so nobody will know me, and I'm very anonymous. And, I would say, you know, for the first couple of minutes, it was quite different for me to be undressing with, you know, men and women and thinking to myself, you know, this is the first time I'm taking my clothes off along with you know, the other people. But literally feeling incredibly comfortable. I hopped into the swimming pool and started swimming a lap, and just this kind of overwhelming sense of freedom came over me. And I thought, you know, for thinking so much about this and, you know, just kind of wrestling with these ideas of the nude body and clothing and all this, it was so easy and so freeing. And for me, that was just sort of a changing moment where I thought there's no reason, you know, to be ashamed or you know, shocked or anything like that. And it sort of changed how I perceived, well, certainly has changed how I've been researching things from this point on or from that point on.
So Katie, you know, it's sort of like he decided to go skydiving, but now he wants you to go skydiving too. How did you react to that?
At first I was kind of like, you know what? And never mind when you do your own thing, you do it. I'm not really interested, you know? So I wasn't super interested in participating at the beginning and just kind of let him do his own thing. That's fine. I'm totally supportive of it, but I didn't really want to do it myself. But as time went on, I just thought, well, you know, I don't have a problem being naked. So I would get naked with him sometimes and just be naked. And as he said before, our girls are at an age where they're both changing. Our older one is definitely developing, and we both feel like it's positive for her to see us naked. And that's really kind of what pushed me, I think, when I first decided to start doing it more, was that I felt like she needed a healthy body role model.
And we saw a pretty immediate change in we had always been somewhat open in our nudity in our family. We certainly didn't care, you know, about putting a towel around us when we walked out of the bathroom or anything like that. But, you know, as I sort of became more open about it, I was much more open in the home, and so was Katie. And I think there was a pretty immediate reaction, wouldn't you say?
Okay. Yes. It was somewhat mixed at the beginning, but we found that our older daughter became much more open more quickly. She was, and which we thought was very interesting because she is the one who's really developing at this point. She was much more likely to walk around naked or to take off her clothes, she felt more comfortable talking to us about the changes that are happening to her. And I think she feels more comfortable knowing what's coming because she can see it. And I don't want her to have a role model of unrealistic photos in magazines and, you know, seeing what isn't real and trying to achieve that. We both feel it's very unhealthy for our girls, which is completely ironic because my husband helps style a lot of these pictures. But we both feel like we want them to see healthy, naked role models. And I felt like that was really important for me to be that for my kids.
So how did he convince you, or how did you decide to finally go to the beach?
At this point we'd been talking about, and he'd been doing this for, I don't know, 6 months or so, I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he just said, would you just be willing to try it with me? And I said, you know, I'm a person who will pretty much try anything once. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And we went, and it was fine. It was great. And, you know, it is the initial, you're a little uncomfortable for the first few minutes, and then you get over it real fast. So
did you bring the kids?
We did. The beach is clothing optional. And so the girls weren't naked because I didn't feel as comfortable having them naked there. We've gone to a naturist park, which they are nude there, because I just feel like the situation is different.
Well, it's a more controlled environment. There's no question.
Right, exactly. So,
and were they okay with the naturist park?
Well, our 12-year-old, funny enough, just took off her clothes and was great. Our 9-year-old, really, I think it took a couple of times for her to take her clothes off. And I still think she's not entirely comfortable with it. Seeing other people naked doesn't seem to affect her, but her being naked is a little bit harder. She would get naked to get in the pool, and then she'd want a towel as soon as she got out, or to put on her sundress or whatever. But it's a little harder for her. She's, I think, getting more comfortable with it. I honestly thought she would be the one who wouldn't mind at all, but it was actually the opposite. So it's still a work in progress.
It's amazing, actually. But yeah, you know, sometimes I look back on us human beings sort of like from above as aliens looking at the planet. And I think, you know, how screwed up are we that we're so uncomfortable with our own selves? But that it could be happening already at 9 years old to such a level with parents like yourselves who are obviously fairly casual about the whole thing.
Right. Well, you know, it's I think it's proof that there's such a dichotomy in the world. You know, on one hand, I would say that, you know, from my perspective in the fashion industry, that, you know, nudity or the showing of the body is becoming less and less taboo. I mean, certainly there's a couple of magazines in New York based out of New York that are showing, you know, breasts and that sort of thing fairly regularly without any sort of outcry, where, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, they certainly wouldn't be doing that. It would be the European fashion magazines that were doing that. And that's the one side. On the other hand, you know, you've got sort of this very strong modesty push. I think it, you know, it comes from a sort of religious and sociocultural point of view. And you've also got this whole issue with body image. Because on the one hand, while we're showing sort of more nudity and fashion photography, you know, it's photoshopped. It's very rarely real. And so, you know, that sort of, you know, becomes a vicious circle then when you talk about the other side of the spectrum, which is this idea of body image. And, you know, it's tricky because you realize even with a 9-year-old that they're very much affected by how people perceive them. I don't think that our youngest has any issue with herself, you know, and being naked. I think she's mostly just not sure she wants other people to see her. And that's pretty, I think that's sort of telling of our you know, society.
talking academically here, you know, I'm sure fashion would not define itself as a subjugation of people to clothes or to the shaming of people. So how would you define what fashion is supposed to be?
Oh, that is a good question. And I think it depends in some cases on who you ask. At this point, my feeling that fashion, and a lot of times in the academic world, they will separate clothing from fashion. Fashion is this idea that if you want to give sort of a dictionary approach, is expressing oneself or expressing a society at large or the expression of society at large through clothing. Whereas clothing, when we talk about clothing, it's the protection of one's body is usually the term they'll give. At this point in time, you know, in most places in the world, most people have enough money that they're, you know, that clothing has gone beyond just mere protection from the, you know, the weather. And so I think in most cases, clothing and fashion are pretty much interlocked. But fashion really, as I said, is an expression of a culture, expression of a group of people. And so I don't think that it takes the body out of the equation. In fact, as you said, you know, the body is a very, very important role in fashion. I mean, you'll hear designers always say that, the body is the foundation of their art, you know, that they're looking, there's this idea, especially with thin girls, because you see a lot of thin models and a lot of people are saying, you know, it's because we have this obsession with thinness in fashion. Well, a lot of that comes because clothes tend to hang better on a thinner girl. So the fashion designers are certainly more interested in their clothes, hanging nicely on the body so that they sell. And it's not so much that they're obsessed with thin, small-chested women. Of course, that kind of becomes part of that vicious body image cycle as well. On the fashion runways and fashion editorial and that sort of thing, the body plays a very important role. You'll see the body, you know, through transparent clothing, or it might not even be covering it at all. And a lot of my very, you know, friends who are very involved in fashion have a very strong sense of self and don't have any problem with nudity.
Right. So as a fashion professor, designer, and a person who's obviously passionate about fashion, has your discovery of naturism affected that?
Yes, to a certain degree. I mean, it's made me, first of all, it changes how I approach clothing. first of all, in the morning, the first thing I used to do was, you know, get up, take a shower, and choose an outfit. And I think we can all attest to the fact that if you put on, something in the morning and you feel good about yourself and those clothes, that sort of carries on throughout the day. That there's a sense of perhaps power or self, you know, that you feel good about yourself. The same thing can hold true if you put something on that, you know, you put it on in the dark or didn't really think too much about it. And you sort of, that carries along with you through the day. I mean, I even have the situation where I would get dressed in the morning and, you know, it would be a Saturday morning. And by afternoon we think, oh, we should really do some cleaning or mow the lawn. And I would think, yeah, no, but I don't want to change my clothes. You know, I'm already dressed for the day. So from that perspective, just from, you know, a daily basis, it certainly has changed, because the first thing I do is, you know, I will take a shower, but I don't necessarily get dressed. So that's interesting, because that certainly changes. The other thing that, and I think I had mentioned this in when I originally emailed you, was it's changed the way I perceive people. And I had sort of an experience. I think it was probably the first time I visited the nude beach. I've seen a woman and thinking, you know, she's an attractive woman, and she wasn't a thin woman. It wasn't sort of the normal person that I would find attractive. And I just thought, you know, she's just very comfortable with herself, and there's something about her that is really, positive. She just has this positive air about her. And I left it at that. And then at the end of the day, as you're walking, you know, home, or walking to the car, I noticed this woman, and of course she was clothed as she was dressed to walk back to the car. And I remember thinking, ah, you know, those clothes don't fit her. they're sort of old style. And, you know, I was judging her. I got up closer to her as I was walking a little faster than her. And I realized it was the same woman that I'd seen earlier in the day. And that was sort of an epiphany for me that, you know, here I had been judging these people and they take their clothes off and it sort of changes your perception of people. I would posit that a lot of times the body issues happen because people are wearing clothes that don't fit or don't feel comfortable or don't fit into the rest of, into the particular environment they're in. And when you're unclothed, that all goes away. You're all the same.
Yeah, well, perhaps, you know, naturists who become very comfortable with their bodies will wear clothing differently as well, because clothing no longer becomes a crutch. Mm-hmm. The question is, what does, you know, clothing become? And it doesn't necessarily have to be utilitarian. In fact, I'm a member of the provincial camping organization, because Bear Oaks is a campground. And when I go to the convention, I actually make an effort to dress nicer than a lot of others do. Mm-hmm. It's a very casual environment, but I feel that people are looking at me as the naked guy, and I don't want to be the guy that they say, well, see, he can't dress because he doesn't like to wear clothes. And, you know, I don't think the two have to be connected. I certainly know some naturists who wear, you know, basically just kind of wear tents, but because it's all that, you know, they walk around in sweatpants everywhere. I don't think that's right either.
Well, that's interesting, because I was just teaching a class literally last week, and we were talking about the difference between fashion, styles, and trends. But there was a word that comes up, and it's called taste. And we were talking about, well, what does it mean, you know, to have taste in fashion? And what it really comes down to is that taste is being appropriate to the situation. And I think exactly as you were saying, you know, being nude is not appropriate, or maybe at least currently in our world, is not appropriate for every situation. You know, the one thing I really love about naturism is that it's just that you become very aware of yourself and, frankly, very comfortable with yourself. And I think that's a good thing. And, you know, I think that clothing is not inherently a bad thing. So having that sense of self, and then that, I think that affects how you wear your clothes. And then you just become a little more aware of that idea of taste, of what's appropriate for the situation. You know, and that changes depending on whether you're at work or you're at home or you're in a social setting, you know, with friends or family. If it's hot, if it's cold, you know, there's a whole range of different reasons on why you would wear clothes or express yourself with clothes or accessories.
It's, you know, it's similarly when you're not wearing anything. I've, you know, seen a few people where you have to say to them, I said, look, just because you're nude doesn't mean you should stop caring about what you look like. Mm-hmm. You know, the showering cutting your hair or combing your hair or whatever, you still have to take some pride in yourself and take care of yourself. The problem with everything is nothing is black and white. And accepting yourself doesn't mean that you give up either. And, you know, there's a point, though, when you start to care about yourself so much that it becomes an obsession and debilitating, mm-hmm. whether it's clothes or nude or anything. And it's sometimes people have trouble with the subtleties and the nuances.
Well, I think that happens the same on the clothing side, on the fashion side. I mean, I honestly think that people who take the time in the morning to get ready and put some thought into what they wear, that it really does affect the way you feel about yourself throughout the day. You know, and that goes beyond just, am I comfortable in my skin? It's really just, are you comfortable and you know, proud of who you are and how you express yourself? And I think that's the same with when you're nude, you know, that you do have to, you know, just because I don't put clothes on first thing in the morning doesn't mean I don't brush my hair and, you know, brush my teeth and you know, try to feel good about myself and that I'm prepared for the day.
Katie, do you think being a naturist has affected you?
Yeah, it definitely has. I would say that I thought I had a pretty good body image before. But I'm not sure. I feel like I've been able to accept myself a lot more now. I feel like I have a healthier self-image, and I feel like that's positive for not only myself, but also my girls, and helping them learn to have a healthy self-image. I feel like, I think it's been for both Joshua and I just an experience and acceptance of our own bodies and each other's bodies and bodies of others in general. And I never thought I was a judgmental person, but I think perhaps I was more so than I realized. And this has kind of helped me to let go a lot of those judgments. And, you know, you kind of, when you're all naked and laid bare, as it were, it really does even the playing field. And it's much more about you than your appearance. It's about who you are as a person. And I think it has definitely changed me.
You know, I remember the first time I told Katie, I said, you know, you'll go to the beach or we'll go to the naturist park and, you know, you won't even notice anybody after about 5 minutes. And about an hour into it, I remember her turning to me and saying, I haven't stopped noticing. And, you know, we started talked about that a little bit afterwards. And you know, I think maybe there's a falsehood to, you know, you stop noticing. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with noticing. I you know, sometimes people ask me, well, what's the difference? And I say to myself, you know, I think the only difference is that you're naked. You still notice people and that they're different and how they're different. But you know, you just happen to all be naked. And so we talked about that a little bit. And I think we kind of, it was kind of exciting that there's a diversity out there that, you know, we sort of never knew about. I mean, and I think that's part of the body acceptance, is that there's a realization that there's no one, you know, we always think of, you know, fat or skinny or taller, short. You never really think about all the other parts of the body that are completely, everyone's very different. And I think, you know, for our daughters as well, I think it was sort of eye-opening that everyone doesn't look the same. And even our 9-year-old, I think, was just like, wow, Dad, you know, they're all different. So, I think that's kind of an interesting point.
It is interesting. And, you know, there's this, again, it's these extremes. Like, you know, we get people coming in at Bear Oaks for the first time and, you know, we're nude behind the counter. And you almost want to say, something wrong with your eyes? Because they're frozen. They don't want to look down. And that's not natural. We look each other up and down. And so, you know, I always say, you know, it's okay to look up and down, but don't stare.
Right.
If somebody walks in, I will often notice their shoes. You know, mm-hmm. For example, in the office, people sometimes, I have another business, a sort of textile office, mm-hmm. and sometimes people walk around barefoot in the summer, but when they walk in barefoot, I notice. So obviously we're looking up and down, right?
Sure.
And yeah. So there's nothing wrong with noticing each other. There was a man at Bear Oaks this summer who had a somewhat unusually shaped penis. And, you know, afterwards, the staff were kind of talking about it. They weren't laughing at him. They just thought it was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
There was nobody was going, ew, or any of that you might expect sometimes in the real world. They were just kind of, well, isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, you know, I'm not sure that there is a woman with an identical pair of breasts to another woman. You know, there's so much variety there as well. I think it's interesting that we see that because people otherwise aren't aware that there's such variety in bodies.
Yeah.
I agree.
I would agree with that too.
And so I don't know that it's true that we stop noticing. I think it's okay that we notice.
Mm-hmm.
The key is, do we judge it or are we disgusted or offended by the difference?
I kind of wonder if, you know, if we didn't notice, if clothing would really be what clothing is today. I mean, I think inherently, you know, as a species, we look at each other and we size each other up and, you know, for whether it's physical or a sexual attraction to, you know, quite frankly, an emotional or spiritual connection. I mean, you know, in fashion, we sort of laugh at this dichotomy of fashion, the fashion general population and those that want to be different, because, you know, I remember even back in high school, you know, there was the quote unquote, you know, normal popular kids. And then there were the, you know, the goth kids, the gothic kids. That was the big thing in the early, I'm dating myself now, in the late 80s. And, you know, but the funny and ironic thing of it is, of course, you know, there was like 20 or 30 of them that all looked exactly the same. So as much as they were trying to be different, they were exactly the same as, you know, as a subset group. So, you know, I think that we as a species definitely want to identify, because it's how we, you know, it's how we relate to each other. And unclothing always has been a way that we relate with each other. I do think that, you know, being nude sort of changes that dynamic. It doesn't change that we don't size one another up or notice, but it does change the dynamic of how we first approach someone and how we interact with them, I think, at the beginning.
Well, it's interesting because there's also a dichotomy in clothing in that it is a way for us to express our individuality, mm-hmm. but it is also an important part to be part of the tribe and to show that we are the same, to make mm-hmm. us all more similar. Which do you think is the more important influence in fashion?
Oh, that is a tricky one, because on one hand, I mean, I just did a panel the other day with some very, you know, very influential people in the fashion industry. One who's in trend forecasting, literally, he's the one that helps to designers decide. I mean, there's a whole business, I don't know if you know this, but there's a whole huge business of people who decipher where trends are going, what colors we're going to be wearing, what shapes of clothing we're going to wear. I mean, it's a million-dollar business. And on the other hand, on the other panel, or I'm sorry, the other person on the panel was, you know, in charge of a very influential blog magazine site in fashion. And it's just so interesting to me because on the one hand, fashion people love to be different. I mean, you go to a fashion show in Paris or New York and you go around where the fashion shows are, and it is truly one of the most magnificent scenes you'll ever see, because it's an experience in diversity and expression in the highest order. You know, people are just, it's their chance to sort of strut. On the other hand, the whole fashion industry is interested in one thing: to get you to buy into whatever they're selling. So the leaders of fashion are all about, you know, being yourself and expressing yourself differently, whereas the fashion in general is all about making people look the same.
Right. Right.
So even in the fashion industry, it's very, you know, dichotomous.
Hmm. Katie, do you think you're picking your fashion differently now?
I found actually, since being naked more, that I'm more apt to make an effort dressing, oddly enough. Kind of like when you go to that conference. When I get ready for the day, I try very hard to look nice, to make sure that what I'm wearing fits me nicely and that I'm presenting myself well, so that I look nice. So I found that I definitely make more of an effort when I'm getting dressed.
Right. Interesting. Actually, you know what's interesting is there's we employ a lot of young students during the summer. And one of them last year, after spending the whole summer basically living nude at Bear Oaks, because they have to stay on site because it's a little remote and most of them don't have cars, she went back to university and she said she really lost interest in the revealing clothing. Mm-hmm. Because she felt, you know, she could dress nicely, but she didn't want to be using her body that as much that way anymore. It changed her perception of what her body was and how she was and how she was using it. So it does have an impact. Katie, do you tell your friends, do your neighbors know, do your relatives know?
I'm guessing our neighbors might know because we have a lot of windows, but, certain friends, yes, no. Family, No, I think.
Oh, we've told a few.
A couple of Josh's family.
Mm-hmm.
None of mine. I'm not sure how they would react. So I guess I've just never said anything.
Although we have been very loud about being nude at home to all of our family.
Yes, they are aware that we are in our home, that we are naked and our kids see us naked.
But, and regularly nude or just occasionally when you walk from the bathroom to the bedroom?
I would say they know that we are occasionally. I'm not sure that we've ever.
But are you, I mean, do you? Do you sit and have a meal nude together, for example? Do you watch TV nude? How much has naturism become part of your life at home?
Well, it depends on how cold it is.
Fair enough.
But yes, we do. We watch TV naked. We have breakfast naked, sometimes dinner. I wouldn't say that it's all the time, but yes. We do.
And I have the luxury of, I have my own agency. And so I have the luxury of working from home a lot. So whenever I have a chance, I'm certainly working without clothing. We've only had one sort of run-in where we were I was on a Skype call and my wife didn't realize that and walked through the room. luckily the person I was working with is also a friend of ours. So he now knows, but not by on purpose. So.
So, what about you, Josh? Joshua, sorry. Do you like? There's a so superficial conflict theoretically between naturism and the fashion industry. So, do you try to keep it secret in your profession?
No, I mean, I haven't. It's not something I announced to anyone, but I have no problem telling anyone. Especially in the fashion industry. I mean, you know, first of all, a good portion of us have all worked, like I said, on photo sets and photography sets and that sort of thing. It's sort of just an expectation in the industry. I mean, so nudity isn't sort of this taboo subject, whereas it might be, you know, talking to a family member. It's a little bit potentially more, you get into discussions of religion and you know, social norms and that sort of thing where when I'm talking with my colleagues, it's not so much the case. I mean, I don't, like I said, I don't come out and announce it, but if the conversation comes up or if, I mean, obviously I'm very involved in this research about modesty and that sort of thing. So it comes up and I'm more than happy to tell people. So.
And they don't react like you're a traitor to the cause?
No, not at all. I mean, one of my friends was sort of, you know, she's very involved in fashion and as a designer and you know, as an educator. And she's very much a proponent of eco-fashion and sustainability, which I think is a sort of a different topic, but affects my opinion of fashion and the body. But, you know, she was sort of like, it's about time, you know, because, like I said, I mean, she loves her clothes and she's, you know, truly one of those, you know, fashion leaders, but at the same time, she has absolutely no problem with her body. And, you know, one of her biggest issues is that she sees students that are so, especially in our modern, our students now, they're so aware of themselves to a fault. I mean, it's kind of sad that you see these girls that come to school, as particularly girls and boys too, and they're just so super aware of them and their body that it sort of overshadows their personality. And, you know, it's kind of sad. I don't know if you saw this, but there was a big, there's a bra company, and I won't say who they are, but they had a big advertising campaign. I guess it was two years ago. And the whole advertising campaign was about these special little pedals that they had in the bra that would ensure that there was no possible way that you could see a nipple or you know, the shape of a nipple through a shirt. Right. So that, you know, the whole advertising campaign was you can walk around assured, you know, that you won't embarrass yourself. And, you know, I remember having conversations with my colleagues about, you know, what have we come to when, you know, fashion is meant to eliminate sort of our bodies, because that's not what fashion is. It's sort of, it's an enhancement. It's an expression of your body. And it's just one more, you know, step sort of in the wrong direction, I think, of using clothes as a way to hide, as opposed to a way to, you know, protect and express.
Yeah, and it all seems so perverse too to me, because, you know, the idea that people are generally accepting that this is a good thing to do and that makes sense to them, that we would want to pretend that we don't have something that everybody has and that we all know we all have, but let's pretend we don't have it.
right.
It's getting that way with men as well, by the way.
Yes, it's much more so.
Yeah, I mean, I was at my son's soccer game this summer, a very hot night, and I was sweating. I took my shirt off, and I was the only one who did. Whereas when I was younger, men would take their shirts off anytime it was hot. It was not a big deal. And even one person even commented, kind of joking, like, yeah, well, I guess you're just comfortable taking your shirt off. And I'm going, well, you know, I'm not naked. I'm just taking my shirt off. So even men are starting to feel this need to be ashamed and hide their bodies, it seems.
Well, that's interesting, because there's two things I would say about that. One, you know, in my, you know, again, I kind of came of age in the late 80s, you know, early 90s. By that point, you know, we weren't even showering or dressing in the locker room in high school. That was sort of, you know, it just didn't happen. And I think in large part because there was this, I don't know, I think in the 80s, things became very conservative again when it comes to body. But, you know, and that stayed with me. That stayed with me. I mean, I still to this, or not even to, not now, but, you know, even 5 years ago when I would go to a locker room, it was a little uncomfortable for me to see other nude men, and certainly to do the same for myself. And I always thought, you know, here I am, you know, doing this, and I totally feel like it's, you know, ridiculous. On the other hand, you know, I think men, there's been a big shift in culture. You know, in fashion in the late 90s, there was this whole idea of metrosexuals in fashion. And that is that, you know, the idea that men were now more worried, you know, whether they were gay or straight, were more worried about how they looked and wore. And I think that's even, you know, you can see that in the naked body as well. I mean, Katie and I both were noting, you know, at the beach, how many men are, you know, shaving themselves bare. Or it's just, it's very interesting to me that's part of our culture now and accepted. And I couldn't imagine my father ever shaving his
right. Yeah, no, absolutely. You know?
I don't think my dad ever had a razor that would do that sort of thing in his bathroom.
Well, Katie, how are your two daughters reacting to all this? Is it something they like, but it's a deep, dark secret, or would they invite their friends?
I would say it's different for both of them. I'd say our older one, I think she actually enjoys it. I mean, I know she enjoys going to the nature's park and being naked and, you know, swimming and all of that. And she'd love to invite her friends, but she's concerned not necessarily how they will take it, but how their parents would react. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's with her close friends. With other people, she doesn't really want to tell them because she doesn't want to be made fun of. Mm-hmm. Our younger daughter, since she is not entirely comfortable with the whole thing, wouldn't tell anyone, I don't think.
Although when we've told our friends, our oldest in particular is always like, oh, okay, so we can talk to him about it now.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so she's acutely aware of who knows and who doesn't. And
yes,
I think if she could, she would invite all of her friends to come. I think she enjoys it. And, you know, she even relayed an experience to us the other day. You know, this is hard as a parent, but she's in middle school now. It's her first year of middle school, and they had their first week of gym. And you know, she's not particularly developed. Yeah, she isn't developed yet, and she sees absolutely. She first of all, she's totally comfortable in her body, and second of all, she sees no reason to have a bra to you know, cover breasts that don't exist. You know, mm-hmm. and she's already taken some flack for that. She knows that the kids are talking about it. And I, you know, I asked her how she felt about that. And she said, you know what? I don't really care. She's like, but it's funny to me that people care so much about that. She's like, And most of these girls and the ones that care the most are the ones that, you know, look just like me. So, you know, it's time will tell, but it's certainly, you know, she's like, I just wish I could tell them that I've seen, you know, plenty of breasts and it's no big deal. You know, I've seen penises too, and it's no big deal. It's definitely no big deal.
So what do you think is your future as a naturist family now?
I don't know. I hope it continues on, and I hope our 9-year-old becomes more comfortable with the whole thing, because I think we enjoy going to the naturist park as a family. And I think it's been really healthy for us. I feel like our kids have definitely been more open, and I've found for sure with our oldest one that she actually will talk to Joshua even more, ask him questions about, you know, bodies and what he thinks about things. And it really appears as though him being naked a lot more of the time and them seeing him has really somehow opened up the lines of communication, which I think is absolutely fantastic. And we would love for that to continue on as they get older. We just really hope that will help them as they grow to be comfortable in their own bodies.
And for me, it's, I think it's an ongoing, you know, for me, it's very ongoing. One, you know, as I mentioned to you, I really feel that this issue, I've sort of turned a new leaf. You know, I haven't been doing as many editorials, and certainly when I do, I'm very, very aware of what I'm saying about someone's body and expectations of body image. And so that certainly has changed me immediately, and I think it will continue to do so. But even more so, I think there's a greater sense for me that I want to, Katie and I are both very involved with youth and organizations. And we just, you know, we feel really bad about these body image issues and frankly, sort of the sexualization of children. And it's just, you know, it's very sad to us. And I think, you know, as an educator, and an academic, you know, I wish and I want to do something to sort of stem that tide. I think that fashion is all about, you know, for good or worse, it's all about self-image and feeling good about yourself. And so I think that it's kind of a unique platform to talk about these issues. So, you know, I think we're going to get more and more involved as we go in terms of how do you connect the two, because they should be connected, and they shouldn't be perceived as dichotomous. And you know, that's the other interesting thing to me, Stefan, is that you see these girls who and boys who I don't think have any. I mean, I think they would get naked and go to a beach. I don't think that they care. And yet, on the flip side, you know, they're very acutely aware of their bodies. And you know, one of the things that we look for as we're, you know, getting more and more involved in naturism is places where families, you know, of all ages participate, you know, and unfortunately, a lot of the places we've looked at, you know, they tend to skew older. And so, you know, we're very interested in how to, you know, bridge that gap. And certainly, I know that's a topic I've noticed on all the boards and in the magazines and that sort of thing. It's definitely a topic of how do we attract a younger crowd, because I think they need it.
Well, that's all for this episode of the Naturist Living Show. Thank you, as always, for listening. I always appreciate hearing from everybody. I love the positive feedback. Thank you so much for keeping in touch and letting me know what you think. My name is Stéphane Deschaine, and I am your host for this podcast, and I'm the owner of Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park. You can find in the show notes on the website, you can find links to all of the items that I mentioned in the show. The website is located at naturistliving.bearoaks, that's B-A-R-E, of course, .ca, because we are in Canada. So please keep sending your comments and suggestions. If you want to send me a note, The email address is naturistliving@bareoaks.ca. Again, B-A-R-E, bareoaks.ca in Canada. Join us again in about a month for the next episode of the Naturist Living Show, where we'll be interviewing Philip Cargom, the author of A Brief History of Nakedness.
This episode of the Naturist Living Show was brought to you by Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park, traditional naturist values in a modern setting. Traditional values means that naturism is more than just taking your clothes off. It is a life philosophy with physical, psychological, environmental, social, and moral benefits. Bear Oaks Family Naturist Park strives to promote those naturist values in a modern setting that provides the amenities and services that our members and visitors expect. Free your body, free your mind. Learn more at www.bareoaks.ca.